All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the Rumble chat tonight. Chopper Supernut is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Green Rose Patriot is on. Golfmaster One's on. Granite 2468 is on. Bascom Avenue is on. USA Abigail is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Robin Aroni's on. Sexy Pony's on. Wisconsin Honey Badger's on. Hot Shots Insight is on. Naz Yeager is on. Debnew 2011 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Judy Anita is on. Sixlin is on. Praise Holler is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Dave Souders is on. JD Wool is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Phil McCracken is on. 1961 Kid is on. Big Jim Go Blues on. Hassle Free TV is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Robin Aroni is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Stephatoms is on. Those Jesus People is on. Uncle Wally's on. Let's see here. LA 106 Times is on. All right, made it to the bottom. There we go. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Okay, this title of the show tonight is Elon's Coming to the Rescue, because NASA can't do what Elon can do. So here's how we started out. Here's how we set it up now. Is we know that we have the astronauts stranded. I don't know. I think they launched today. Though they did, because I saw them going to the launch pad unless something happened. But anyway, they have the Boeing Starliner, which had to come back to Earth by itself while the astronauts had to stay in the space station, the ISS, what they call it. So the astronauts had to stay in the space station because the Boeing Starliner malfunctioned. It didn't malfunction bad enough to not fly itself back down to Earth, but it couldn't fly the astronauts back up. And Elon Musk has been trying to rescue these people since, I believe, September. But Joe Biden didn't want Elon Musk to rescue the astronauts prior to the election, because he knew that Elon Musk was going to be running Doge. He knew that Elon Musk was pro-Trump, and he didn't want to give Trump any points in the election. Didn't want to give Trump, you know, any boost in the election in any way, shape or form. So get this. This is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You would rather leave people in space and give Kamala Harris some sort of political expediency than actually rescue the people who are languishing in space. They were supposed to be there for 8 days, and now it's coming up on 9 months. And you know that. And at that time, that means that they had been in space for a couple months already. And you're like, okay, I can either rescue these people and allow Elon Musk to score a few political points, or I can just leave them in space. I'll just leave them in space and so that my political opposition doesn't score any points. Imagine making the decision. I mean, because people can die up there. I mean, again, you think about it. If anything goes wrong in the ISS, these people are dead. And Joe Biden doesn't even care. And we all know that he wasn't making the decisions. Somebody else is making the decisions. Probably Antony Blinken, Susan Rice, Barack Obama, all of them behind the scenes. As Joe, you know that all the pardons that he signed for his family? Do you know where Joe Biden was at that time? He was in the Bahamas. Signing pardons with an auto pen. And this is how this country, imagine, I mean, again, my point in saying all this is, imagine being a Democrat right now. I mean, you're being forced into defending Hamas. You're being forced into defending a man who signed pardons for his family using an auto pen. You're being forced to defend circumcisions in Mozambique being paid for by our taxpayer dollars. And now you're being forced to defend a party that leaves people in space to prevent their political opponent from scoring some sort of campaign points. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. All right, so I'm just going with you guys because I have this whole list screwed up. I screwed up the whole show right before the show. We barely got it. If it wasn't for Brent and Aaron, we'd be 15 minutes behind right now because I screwed up the whole show. So anyway, I'm going by what you guys have. If it sounds kind of bush league, it is, but it's all my fault. All right, I believe we're at the ACYN video. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Hannity, you're going to help. Play for me.
You're committed to rescue. You're going to help rescue next month two astronauts that I think were abandoned. They dispute that. in an interview.
At the president's request, we are accelerating the return of the astronauts, which was postponed kind of to a ridiculous degree.
They got left in space.
They've been there. They were supposed to be there 8 days. They're there almost 300.
Biden.
Yes, they were left up there for political reasons, which is not good.
Okay, it's not good.
I love Trump's very simplistic answers. Biden, Aaron, give that to me.
Biden.
There you go. I love it. Elon's giving like a more technical answer, but he just said it was for political reasons. So, of course, the bourgeois leftist globalist elitist jump in. Do me a favor, guys. I hate to do this to you, but flip to the next one for me real quick so I can introduce this guy to you. Andreas Morgenson. You guys got his profile pic, right?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I sent incorrectly. There it is. All right. So there, this guy, because I want you to know who Elon's talking to, this ESA astronaut from Denmark. And Aaron, you know, if Denmark does it, that's what you mean. You have to follow all the people to get abused by every single totalitarian regime that's ever existed. They, you know, conquered in World War I, conquered in World War II, would have been conquered by the Russians or the Chinese right now if it wasn't for the United States with a missile defense shield over their country. But if Denmark believes something from Andreas Mogensen, ESA astronaut, is Denmark's the one who owns Greenland too. Isn't that kind of weird? They think they own Greenland. Isn't it Denmark? All right, ESA astronaut from Denmark and commander of ISS, the International Space Station, for Expedition 70, aerospace engineer, blah, 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 rugby and adventure sports enthusiast. So he's going to talk to Elon Musk. All right, go back to the previous one for me, Brent. So here they're going back and forth. Andreas Morgenson says, remember, because Elon just said the reason why these people weren't rescued somewhere in September of October of 2024 after languishing in space for months, when only SpaceX's spacecraft is able to go rescue them. Aaron, can NASA do it?
No.
No. Okay, NASA's been around, Aaron found out for me, since 1959. They can't do it at all. And I'm going to show you in a minute how inept they are. Because, of course, it's a government entity. You go private. That's how it all works. And people are actually motivated to be creative, motivated to make money. And, you know, so they stay and they work long hours to try to create things like they do at SpaceX. But so here comes the globalist leftist from Denmark arguing with Elon about the rescue of these astronauts, because leftist is a leftist. I mean, and again, if you're a leftist, you're choosing to be purposefully ignorant. That's your choice, by just ignoring all facts and data. Elon is telling you, I talked to the Biden administration. And did the Biden administration come out and deny it? No. Weird how they didn't deny it. Because I guarantee it's via email and text. And Elon could simply say, I offered to fly the spacecraft up there, the only spacecraft that could do it, and get them in September, October. You turned it down because you didn't want Donald Trump to score political points. But don't worry, here comes Andreas Mogensen from Denmark. Elon, I have long admired you. That's what they always do. They're setting you up when they start with compliments. And what you have accomplished, especially SpaceX and Tesla. You know as well as I do that Butch and Sunni, those are the two of the three astronauts stranded in space, are returning with Crew 9, as has been the plan. If they're going to be returned on Crew 9, Andreas, strike one that your name is Andreas, why is it that it's Crew 10 that's flying there today? Interesting. As has been the plan since late last September. Oh, yeah, the last September when they're supposed to be returned. Even now, you are not sending up a rescue ship to bring them home. Because he was denied, you stupid idiot. Look what Elon says. You are fully retarded, says the smartest man on the planet. SpaceX could have brought them back several months ago. Look at the date on there, 2020-2025. I offered this directly. When Elon Musk puts all caps, you might want to pay attention. I offered this directly to the Biden administration, and they refused. Return was pushed back for political reasons, idiot. All right, go to the next one for me. So, yeah, after that one. There you go. So what do the astronauts have to say about it? Well, here's Space Suitor. Sudur. Is that right, Aaron? What do you think? Sudur?
Sudur.
News astronaut Butch Wilmore, who went to the International Space Station on the Boeing Starliner last year, has confirmed. That's not what Denmark says, though. And if Denmark says, has confirmed that Elon Musk offered to help bring NASA astronauts home back in 2024. Was Donald Trump president ever in 2024? No. He also said, so it was a deal with Kamala and Joe. He also stated the return was delayed by the, the astronaut, who's supposed to be like apolitical, unbiased, nonpartisan. It's so bad that the astronaut is saying. He also stated that the return was delayed by the Biden administration for political reasons, says the astronaut, probably in the Air Force or is a naval aviator, whatever he may be. So now part of maybe Space Force or whatever, but it doesn't matter. He's part of the military. They don't ever talk like this, but it's so bad. He knows that he's supposed to be up there for 8 days and he's up there for 8 to 9 months because Elon Musk offered to bring him back in September, October, and was turned down so that Kamala can be elected president. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. All right. The next one for me, I believe it's a SpaceX video. Is that correct?
Yep.
Side by side, that one, guys. Just showing you SpaceX video here. Here's Crew 10, Andreas Mogensen. Here's Crew 10. Look at the giant SpaceX. Who has to come rescue our astronauts? Who has to do it? Roll back to the beginning for me, Aaron. So who has to go and get us? Well, who is it? Where's the NASA signature? Where's the federal government, $37 trillion? No, it has to be SpaceX again, private enterprise. Elon Musk has to come. Imagine being anti-Elon right now. That's what you have to be as a Democrat now. You have to be anti-Elon Musk, the man who is going onto the launch pad here, I believe, is somewhere in Florida, and launching up to rescue these astronauts. The federal government can't do it, so Elon has to do it. And to be a Democrat right now, you have to be anti-Elon Musk. All right, let me show you this. Adam Hughes' video. You can side-by-side this one, too, guys. Adam Hughes' video. Here's the beleaguered Starliner. This one that had to fly back to Earth alone because the two astronauts in it, I guess it's just two astronauts. I've seen three pictures, though. Maybe there's somebody else living at the ISS. But anyway, our two astronauts. They were supposed to come home on this. Let me show you something. All right, we're going to go. This is tough, guys. I'm throwing you. I kind of screw up the whole podcast. But anyway, go to the next one for me as quick as you can. Go to that. Now, the Man of Memes video. Just put that up side by side. Now, here's how Elon Musk lands. And this is all in 2024 or 2025. Here's how Elon Musk lands. Pretty good. Pretty sophisticated, huh, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, now go back to the old one for me. Here's how NASA lands.
As those came out.
Just mute it. That's on that. In 2025, NASA is still landing the way they ostensibly landed in 1964. and their aircraft, their spacecraft, the Boeing Starliner, had to abandon its crew and fly back by itself and land with parachutes. Go back to the next one for me. And here's how Elon lands things. And to be a Democrat, you have to be anti this level of advancement. You have to be of integration. You have to be against this right now. Imagine being out there and protesting Doge and everything else. Unbelievable. All right. Good. We're right on target. So let's go to the next one. All right. Let's have some fun. Alex Brucewitz tweet. Michelle Obama debuted her new podcast. Hey, let's give her a hand. Let's do her. Yeah. I mean, hey, she debuted her new podcast. This is allegedly the most popular woman on earth, Big Mike. Big Mike debuted her new podcast a couple days ago with the full weight of the mainstream media, just hyping it up, all hyped up on commercial TV, tons of, I'm sure, millions spent on advertising that is somehow paid for by us, I guarantee you, through USAID and NGOs, hyping it up across every major outlet network, free promotion that most creators could only dream of. Yet, despite the massive push, she scraped together a measly 17,000 subscribers. Alex Jones, I'll go over there right now on Twitter. I'm going to see what Alex Jones has on his replay right now. Gosh, I hate this thing. I mean, it's so much worse than my, I'll just go live. All right. Let's see what Alex Jones has right now. Just for the heck of it. Alex himself is not live. So let me just see. All right. Alex Jones's replay from 9 hours ago has 439,000 people watching it right now. Michelle Obama, total with 17,000 subscribers and her three episodes combined together at 74,000 views total. Alex Jones right now has 439,000 on his replay. That's happening right now. As someone with deep expertise in this space, Alex Brucewicz, which he does, I can say with authority, these numbers aren't just unimpressive. They are an outright disaster. They are losing. They are losing big. And who would ever watch it anyway? What is she going to, what in the world is Michelle Obama going to talk about even for an hour? What on earth is she going to talk about? I mean, she's never accomplished anything in her life except be married to a person. That's it. Let's run to the border here. Benny Johnson video. Border czar Tom Homan absolutely scorches New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Play it for me.
You know, you got Governor Hochul stood on national TV after NYPD officers were assaulted, saying she thinks criminal aliens should be deported. She said the same thing after a young woman was burned alive on a subway by an illegal alien. So she says, yeah, criminal aliens should be deported. However, when Mayor Adams meets with me and wants to help us arrest criminal aliens, get us back in Rikers Island, she goes down there and tries to fire them. She's got the green light law where ICE officers and CBP officers can't get DMV data. When they pull a car over here, they don't even know who they are because they can't get data from DMV because she locked them out. And if she says they need a warrant to get that data, and if they get the warrant to get that data, what's New York do? They notify the bad guy that we're investigating them. So I'm up here calling her out for sanctuary policies.
I mean, did everybody hear that? The reason why I played that video is for the last 10 seconds on that video. In the state of New York, ICE does not have access to DMV data. And then when they get permission to get the DMV data, Department of Motor Vehicle data for illegal aliens, because that's how, why would they need DMV data? Why would they need, in Florida, we call it DHSMV. Why would you need that? Why would you need that DMV data? Because all of the illegals have driver's licenses, oh, which also enable them to vote. Because that's all you need to be able to vote is get a license, even though they're not even checking anybody's IDs, but that's all you need. You are allowed to register. They automatically, in many states, including New York, I'm sure, register you to vote automatically when you have a driver's license. So they don't have none of that DMV data. Why in the United States would you be able to find illegals using DMV data? You're not allowed to get a driver's license in the United States of America without being a green card holder, a legal immigrant, or a citizen of the United States. So, but somehow they are. So Kathy Hochul not only gives illegals, that's the governor of the state of New York, not only does she give illegals driver's licenses, and just remember Springfield, Ohio, right? Remember what was happening there? They're giving them driver's license to anybody who just said they were over the age of 16. They didn't even make them take a driver's test of any type, either whether vocational driver's test or written driver's test, nothing. All you do is come in as an illegal because you're a special citizen under the Biden administration. See, oh, this has changed in it's changed in 50 days. It didn't change in 50 days. It changed the moment Trump swore in. These people are self-deporting like there's no tomorrow. A Hamas supporter just self-deported today. How did she self-deport? Via the CBP One app that's been changed from, remember it was supposed to be, they changed to the CBP Home app. She self-deported herself because she doesn't want to be like Mahmoud, whatever his name is. But anyway, so if they're looking for illegals in New York, which you shouldn't be able to find an illegal using the DMV, but you can. So Hochul doesn't allow ICE to access the DMV. How is that even remotely possible? But then after she doesn't allow them to, they have to ask for permission. Then they get permission. So now, and they have to name who it is that they're going after. And after they name them, say Raul Rodriguez, Tom, you sound prejudicial, don't care. Raul Rodriguez, they find him. Kathy Hochul in the state of New York notifies the person that they're going after. Because they did an inquiry on that person. So then that state notified. How is that not treason? I mean, I would love somebody to explain to me how it is not at a bare minimum obstruction of justice, felonious obstruction of justice. And then at maximum, how is it not treason? How is it not treason to subvert ICE agents? Are they not federal agents? If you're subverting ICE agents, How is that any different than subverting ATF agents and FBI agents? I mean, we all know that if you are even accused of lying to the FBI that you're going to federal prison. We know that. But how is it that if you're going to subvert the activities and the investigations of ICE agents, how is that any different than obstructing the investigations and activities of the FBI, CIA, whatever, maybe, well, not CIA because not law enforcement, but FBI, ATF. Why? How? It's not any different. Or how's that any different than sabotaging the activities or subverting the activities of the NYPD? And everyone would be. So the government can print money, and that's not a crime for them. The government can obstruct law enforcement, it's not a crime for them. It's time for all of these things to be actual crimes and for these people to be arrested, including Kathy Hochul. We need to risk it all. And wherever, if we don't have probable cause, then we don't make arrests. We don't fill out affidavits. But if we do, we need to fill out affidavits and make arrests and litigate and prosecute and fire people, and people can lose their pensions also. All right, let's go to the next one. This is unreal, truly unreal, because I'll tell you what the end game is with this. The Gateway Pundit: California's illegal immigrant-friendly state healthcare program is $3.4 billion short. While Governor Newsom does a podcast, not only are they $3.4 billion short. Remember, this is now this guy right here, who's trying to play moderate now. That's why he's doing a podcast and inviting all these conservatives on. And he basically shakes his head the entire time and agrees with that which he doesn't agree with, and then runs him down and legislates the exact opposite of what he shook his head to. But anyway, so I think it's a $9-point-something billion budget. The $9-point-something billion was spent on illegals in California alone for their health care. Now, Gavin Newsom, because it's a $3.4 billion shortfall, he's removed all Republicans. And when I say he, I mean the Democratic Party has removed all Republicans off of budgetary committees in California. And you're like, well, it's just one state, but it's actually the fourth or fifth largest economy on the planet. So it's more than just one state. And there's a ton of Republicans there, and their elections are fraudulent because in the state of California, you're not even allowed by law to ask for voter ID. You're actually breaking the law if you ask for voter ID. So we know those elections are corrupted. And remember, it took them 3 or 4 months to actually come up with who won the state of California in many, many races. But now that the $3.4 billion short because they spent all the money on illegals, he is seeking out a loan for the $3.4 billion. I mean, talk about governance. I mean, you just talk about galactic ineptitude. You just talk about galactic incompetence. You spent all the money on illegals, and now you're seeking a loan. And I mean, where would he get that loan? It's got to be a federal loan. So are you and I going to be paying for Gavin Newsom to pay for the health care of illegals? I don't know that, but I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. All right, let's go to this one. Patty Mee video. How is this possible? You're like, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ben Berkwam says ICE is releasing illegal aliens. How is that possible? That President Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, has arrested, because ICE is split into two actual factions, those that arrest and those that detain, and the ones that are detaining are releasing people. Play for me.
Got some additional news since we spoke last.
Okay, let's take it first. We're releasing illegals that Tom Homan's ICE agents arrested. I think anybody's jaw is going to drop at the news of this.
Yeah, and apparently, and it's not just San Diego, got word from Phoenix, got word from multiple different offices across America. There's two branches of ICE. You've got HSI, the investigative side of it, and then you've got ERO, the removal side of it. And apparently, there are some deep state holdovers, Biden holdovers on the ERO side that are either refusing to process the people that HSI captures, or slow walking it, or just making the claim they don't have bed space, which is why I'm out here. I'll talk about this in just a minute. This is a Border Patrol soft site outside of El Paso, Texas. But apparently, many of these ERO offices are either refusing to or dragging their feet on it. And they actually released several of the people in that first operation that Tom Homan kicked off on that first Sunday. Many of those people were actually released by ERO. I'm getting that word.
All right, real quick on this. One, tell us what ERO is. And two, Tom Homan has to be steaming mad about this.
The enforcement removal operation. So that's the removal arm of the Homeland Security, ICE. So they're the ones that actually are tasked with taking them, once the illegals are captured, taking them through the process, taking them back to a judge, having that judge sign off on it. And this is the other problem. Also, speaking to HSI, many of these attorneys' offices that are overseeing it, they are also trying to block many of these deportations. You have activist judges in places that are trying to block even Trinidad Aragua, the worst of the worst. Some of these guys are being blocked from being removed by activist judges as well. So we've got every level of government is in opposition. We've got opposition actors against President Trump and Tom Homan. And yes, to answer the question, no doubt Tom Homan is pissed, and they are working through it as we speak. These guys are, and you see what Kash Patel's already doing. They're not messing around. If you're blocking them, they're coming after you with the full force of the law.
All right, so there you go. Now, again, I didn't know anything about that. I had no idea that you had two separate branches of ICE, and it just shows you the depth and width of corruption in the federal government, where you actually have one part of ICE, ICE Immigration and Customs Enforcement, one part of ICE, which is HSI, which are those the agents out there arresting and detaining, and then you have the ERO, which is Enforcement Removal Operations. And ERO is incredibly corrupt, and they're just releasing people. Because I guess all of these people in ERO, they know they're going to get fired, and they want to release as many people as they can. And then I guess after they are all fired for releasing Trendyagua members back into the United States of America, that all the Democrats are going to cry about them losing their jobs, right? But this shows you exactly how evil this is. These people are being arrested. 75% of everybody that Tom Homan is arresting right now is a criminal illegal alien. I know everybody commits a felony if they come in here illegally. I get it. I'm talking about those that commit felonies after the originating felony. These are people that committed rapes inside of the United States of America and ERO is letting them out. Thefts, robberies, traffic homicides, DUI homicides, ERO is letting them out. Because, I mean, imagine this right now, because this is really where the narrative is. And I can't even remember everybody who's been swatted now. I mean, we had the assassination of Jamie White, Alex Jones's chief writer. Alex Jones has been swatted literally thousands of times. Gunther Eagleman swatted. Chase Geyser was swatted. Tim Pool's been swatted. Sean Farris got swatted. So this is what this is who the Democrats are, and they always claim that we are the party that causes things like a transgender genocide. When not one trans, you can't find me one video of a Republican even verbally abusing a transgender person. You can't find one video. So the people that are actually extremely violent and dangerous, I could go in an hour. I never play them. I don't know why I don't play them, because they're just unknown people, I guess. But there are many Democrats making TikTok videos and making social media videos directly threatening the president of the United States. And how they do it is they keep going. They say things like somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be the one to step up and do it. Again, because these people, once you're an abortionist and you're good with killing people, because they can say whatever they want. If you're somebody out there, I always like to say this to people. If you're somebody out there who's had an abortion, if you've repented of that sin, then God's separated you as far as east is from the west from that sin. So don't hold yourself. Don't dishonor God by feeling guilty about it. But I'm talking about the unrepentant abortionist. Once you're like that and you're okay with it, you're okay with killing human beings. If you're okay with being part of Andrew Weissman's DOJ, Ray's DOJ, Lisa Monaco's DOJ, Norm Eisen's DOJ. Once you're okay with that and you're putting people in prison for the rest of their lives, acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent. It's actually funny when Trump is actually quoting scripture. I'm wondering if he got that from one of the people that are in his pastoral council. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Proverbs 17:15. Because if you're willing to actually do that, if you're Andrew Weissman, and you're working on Robert Mueller's investigation, 42 FBI agents, $40 million wasted in the collusion investigation. And you're Andrew Weissman, and you flat out know that this entire investigation is predicated on a false allegation, but yet you investigate it for 2 years trying to find a crime because you're following a Stalinist principle of give me a person and I'll give you a crime. You're supposed to investigate a crime and find suspects. You don't investigate people to find crimes. But once you've gone down that deep, dark path, you can be the ERO, removal enforcement, for ICE and release people back into the public. And you yourself have created another Lake and Riley. But you don't care that you've killed another Lake and Riley because she's probably a Republican. That's what it means to be a Democrat. It sounds like you kind of have an MO tonight. I do. But it's constantly on my mind because right now, you know, I could, back in the 80s, some of you are old enough to remember, some of you aren't. Back in the 80s, I mean, I could never understand anybody being a Democrat, but I could kind of understand it because at that time, there was actually a large pro-life segment of the Democratic Party. And it was basically, it was just basically traditional liberals, free to be a bird, be, smoke marijuana, have their abortions, but never, no government intervention. They wanted to shrink the Pentagon. It was just like we played on the post game last night with Cenk Uygur. He's talking about, he didn't say he's left the Democratic Party or anything like that, but he's talking about it from Young Turks. And he was just saying, you know what, when he used to espouse as a leftist, and still does, we need to shrink the Pentagon. Shrink the Pentagon. And then he tried to run for president himself against Joe Biden, and he was saying we need to shrink the Pentagon. And now they're all attacking him for wanting to shrink the Pentagon. I thought you wanted to shrink the Pentagon. That's all we've ever heard. Remember, there used to be the Rage Against the Machine party? But now if you are advocating to rage against the machine, they're against you. They're big. They're pro-Big Pharma. They're pro-military industrial complex and medical industrial complex. They're just absolutely soulless people in search for power, I guess. And these people inside of ICE are absolutely fine releasing criminals out into the wind. Imagine that. You and I would have trouble sleeping at night, but I guess we shouldn't try to attach to these people our moral virtue. All right, let's look at this now. I love this name, Agent Applebutt video. Mexican cartel operating mass extermination center for trafficking organs. Here it goes again. It's all going to come out now. People like Alex Jones have been saying for years, and a lot of you already knew. I didn't know. I didn't know much until 5 years ago. COVID woke me up. I was always a Reagan Republican, but I'm just saying, and a born-again Christian. But a lot of the stuff that I would have scoffed at and said, oh, come on, mass organ harvesting. I mean, people are actually buying and selling and trading and organ harvesting and pedophile, you know, trafficking and children. I mean, I would know as a cop that there's obviously crimes against children, but I'm like, there's no giant pedophile rings and trafficking circuits around the globe that are perpetrated by globalist leftist bourgeois elitists. And there's no child sacrifices. Nobody's killing these kids for their organs, are they? Nobody's killing people for their organs. But it keeps now popping up because now we have alternative media and the real stories are starting to pop up. And this is actually mainstream media. Mexican cartel operating mass extermination center. Play for me.
Investigation is being ordered after Mexican authorities confirmed a private volunteer group's discovery of mass graves, hundreds of personal belongings, and secret crematoriums on a ranch in Jalisco State. President Claudia Sheinbaum announced Wednesday her administration's prosecutor's office will now investigate the matter. Jalisco's governor also vowed the Mexican National Search Commission will work with state and federal law enforcement to investigate the mass graves. The discovery was made last week by a nonprofit group known as Warrior Searchers of Jalisco, which attempts to locate missing persons. The group says they were alerted to an area by an anonymous tip. The collective initially searched the site before authorities took over. Warrior Searchers of Jalisco say human remains, three clandestine crematoriums, farewell letters, and shell casings were found at the ranch. State authorities later announced it found nearly 500 items, including clothing, backpacks, and more than 400 pairs of shoes. Mexican media dubbed the site an extermination camp and report it may be a recruitment center connected to the cartel Jalisco Nueva Generacion, which the Trump administration recently designated as a foreign terrorist organization. A member of Warrior Searchers of Jalisco says a woman who survived the camp told them up to 1,500 people may have died at the site, and organ trafficking took place there. In September of last year, the Mexican National Guard raided the complex and detained 10 people while rescuing a pair of kidnapping victims and finding a body. Authorities, however, took no further action at the site until now with the collective's recent discovery, which has led to critics accusing local authorities of collusion with the criminal operation. Mexico's attorney general says it's not credible. Local police missed the ovens and human remains during earlier searches. Sheinbaum agreed with the attorney general's remarks after announcing her administration's probe. Jalisco is reportedly the Mexican state with the most missing persons, estimated at nearly 15,000.
So just a question here now. How do you miss in the initial searches, not search, And that search would be inexcusable. Initial investigations and searches of that property. How do you miss the ovens, the crematoriums, and the bodies? How do you miss that exactly? It almost sounds like whoever was investigating is complicit with the crimes, including, remember, for trafficking organs from recruits and others. Go to the next one for me. This is one we showed earlier in the week. Poland arrests Ukrainian woman. Look who's the source up there. That's mainstream media funded by NGOs, that tens of millions of dollars. Your money, your taxpayer dollars, go to pay for a British broadcaster, a British media outlet called Reuters. Explain that to me, because if you're going to be Hitler, you got to have Goebbels. All right, a Poland arrest, Ukrainian woman convicted of selling 56 human kidneys. It's all bubbling to the surface. Where are the? It's now up to 400,000. Where are the 400,000 kids that are missing? I'm just curious. I mean, we know that a lot of them being sex trafficked, labor trafficked, that went missing. Not missing in the totality of the United States, simply those crossing the southern border, not even northern border, the southern border. Imagine that. On average, 100,000 kids a year that we know about, because it doesn't count gotaways, that we know about disappeared into the wind. And we know many reports also from whistleblowers inside of DHS, they came out and said that many of these kids were being delivered to the same address over and over again where there were sexual assault allegations. And kids were being delivered to P.O. boxes. Kids were being delivered to McDonald's. And best of all best, here in the state of Florida, kids were being delivered over and over again to a strip club. I mean, imagine being a Democrat right now. I mean, name one time that ever happened in the Trump administration from 2017 to 2021. Name one time, 17, 18, 19, year 17, year 18, year 19, year 20. When did that ever happen? Never, not one time. And a Democrat under your president and your border czar, Kamala Harris, and your DHS secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, 400,000 kids disappeared. I wonder, is this where they're going? I know a lot of it's sex trafficking, labor trafficking. But after that, after they're used and abused, are they going into the organ market? Because now it's starting to percolate to the surface that there is an international organ market, just like there's an international pedophilia market. It's starting to now. How do you lose 400,000 kids? 100,000 per year. And then Joe Biden is going out publicly getting ice cream and talking to people. How is he any different than Adolf Hitler? I mean, can anybody explain that to me? How is he any different than Stalin? I mean, how are the globalist leftist bourgeois elitists, how are they any different than Hitler when you were responsible for 41.2 million abortions a year? And that's what they say that they do. So it means that's the palatable number. So it's probably twice as many. I mean, how are you any different than Mao Zedong? How are you any different than Pol Pot? How? You're not. It's as simple as that. All right, let's go to the next one. The researcher video now. Last night, it ticked some people off. Nobody said anything in the chat, so I don't know if it ticked anybody off or not. But I came out hard against the CR. But there, because it never should have been passed, which it was. You had Schumer bend over and pass it. But there is some 4D chess behind it. Now, this is, side by side, this is so everybody knows. This is Norm Eisen, just a pick right there. Yeah, that's Norm Eisen. You have to kind of choose because he's an effeminate male. So he's the one to the right. and the woman to the left could easily be a transgender dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she could easily pass as a dude. So I'm just telling you who it is. You know, Norm Eisen is the one to the right. He is the one named by, as Mark Elias was, by Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump has never done this before, never named attorneys that go after him. He got overturned when he removed the top secret security clearance from Perkins Coie. But that'll get reinstated because there's judge shopping. And Norm Eisen is the one orchestrating these injunctions against the policies and legislations and EOs that Donald Trump is doing. He can't really call it legislation because they're EOs. But what the policy initiatives that Donald Trump is doing, the man behind the scenes with all of these injunctions, these lawsuits, these judge shopping. The latest one, of course, was the injunction coming out of San Francisco yesterday, forcing Donald Trump to rehire 14,000 probationary employees that he fired, and he's justly allowed to, because he is the executive in charge of the executive branch, and everybody that was fired works for the executive branch. But yet a federal judge in San Francisco believes that they can actually stop what the executive branch is doing. So Norm Eisen is the one behind doing all this, and he receives all of his money, in my opinion, from NGOs. Because he has these nonprofit, nonpartisan, of course, he never sues any Democrats, but it's a nonpartisan 501c4, and I guarantee you, fully funded by your and I, my tax dollars, your tax dollars, our tax dollars. So we are actually paying for our own political demise. Our own tax dollars are doing it. So here's Norm Eisen, the researcher video, says that if the CR passed, it will harm his lawfare against Donald Trump. Play it for me.
I've heard is that you should vote for the CR because if the government shuts down, it will affect the litigation. That's not true. The courts, the court officers will continue. Eventually, it's possible there could be some impacts, but you'd have to get pretty far down the line. And the danger is that if you have the CR in its current form, that will, because it allows, does not specify exactly how the money must be spent, unlike normal budgetary pronouncements by Congress, this is just rolling forward. Trump will actually argue that Congress endorsed his and Elon Musk's conduct. So it'll be a negative weapon in the litigation, Jen.
So here's the thing. This is, I'll do what nobody else will do. There is a part of what, now I don't back off and we need to stop spending all this money because we could still do this without spending all this money. But if in the moment when you are being stopped by judge shopping litigations and these injunctions, passing the CR enables you to defeat these lawsuits because what they're doing with this is it's brilliant. And again, to a degree, I was wrong. See how that works? Yeah, that works. And if I was fully wrong, I'd tell you I was fully wrong. But I can't. I got to play his voice, Snag Dog. I mean, you got to play other people's voices. I know he's an effeminate guy. But listen, Snag Dog, get used to it. That's what we've been ruled by, effeminate guys and women. Women pretend to be men. But anyway, what the CR does is it's actually a fungible continuing resolution. It has fungible monies that can be targeted at defeating these lawsuits. So there was a part. Listen, there again, I've said this a bunch of times. Maybe I should learn that Trump usually has, when it's something that he does that I hate, there's usually a reason why he's doing it. And after I explode on it, I get proven, at least to a degree, wrong. Now, I'm not saying this to defend myself. Problem is that under Donald Trump, the first time we went trillions of dollars in debt, we can't do that anymore. We can't do it anymore. And we went trillions of dollars in debt because of COVID. So we can't go, we can't. Now, what happened was is we increased our spending by about 25%. I mean, imagine we were already spending $5 trillion a year, bringing in $4 trillion worth of tax revenue every year, going $1 trillion in debt per year. Now we're going $1 trillion in debt every 6 months. That cannot continue. And this CR does continue to spend money like that. But on the positive side of the CR, the money, as Norm Eisen said, is fungible and is easily moved to fight against these unlawful judge shopping litigations. So Trump knows what he's doing, is what I'm saying. And that's and Norm Eisen, because what people were actually saying was they need to defeat the CR, shut down the government, and that would be beneficial to these lawsuits that holding these temporary injunctions holding up and the litigation holding up. It would be beneficial because the government would be shutting down, and Donald Trump right now is the government. But it's actually the opposite. It's the opposite is the case, because with the CR passing, it gives Donald Trump the money to fight these lawsuits. So everyone was talking about shut down the government and Donald Trump can't fight. Shut down the government and Donald Trump can't fight. But it's actually the opposite. They were actually shooting for that. And you're seeing both sides today. AOC comes out. They're all, you know, the Ayanna Presley, the squad, they're coming out and saying, you know, the CR should never be passed. They're all jumping the Schumer's case. That's all just planned. They're not really fighting each other. That's all just planned. They all plan to pass the CR because they're terrified of government shutdowns. We shouldn't be. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's Trump's new economic news. This is the latest economic news. You need to hear these stats. Because what we've been hearing is we have the Democratic infiltration of town hall meetings being held by Republicans. So you have Republican town hall meetings that are being infiltrated by Democrats. So you have Democrats going in there all, what about the egg prices? We didn't hire you to cut USAID. We hired you to lower egg prices. They're acting like Republicans, and then it turns out they're all Democrats. So Republicans are really just shutting down these town halls because there's no point in doing them. And they're stupid anyway. But anyway, so their big argument and what we've been hearing from the mainstream media and talking to when they're questioning Caroline Leavitt. What about the eggs? What about the inflation? Nothing's gone down. They were asking this like 4 days in the Trump administration. And then they're asking it 7 days in the Trump administration. So let's look at it from the start of the Trump administration, January 20th. What's the date there in March?
14th.
From January 20th to March 14th. Let's look at the actual data. It's not all the way up to March 14th, but it's through the month of February. Peter St. Ange, play it for me.
Donald Trump just cut Biden's inflation in half, including eggs down 30% and now below where they were on Joe Biden's last day. So much for media's doom loop, how tariffs will give us the hyperinflations. And yes, that sound you're hearing is Democrats crying their last good talking point is gone with the eggs. Now they're back to defending transgender operas in Peru. Yesterday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics came out with Trump's very first inflation report card, saying CPI rose just 2.4% annualized on the month. That's way down from Joe Biden's last inflation read of 5.7% annualized. So 3.5 points in 28 days. The new numbers took year-on-year CPI down to 2.8%, which is a stone's throw from the pre-COVID 2.5%. Inflation was lower than markets expected on both CPI and core CPI, which excludes food and energy and is considered the more reliable one for underlying inflation. In fact, year-on-year, core is now the lowest since April of 2021, before the Bidenflation nightmare began. Digging in, the biggest jump was housing, which is up 4% annualized, making up a third of all inflation. This was offset by falling energy prices. Gasoline was down 13% annualized on the month, and an absolute plunge in airfares, down 4% on the month, which is 50% annualized. Plunging airfares is a classic recession flag. People stop taking vacations, companies make you do Zoom. But hotel prices are holding up, so that might be more about cheap jet fuel thanks to Drill Baby Drill. Interestingly, new car prices fell while used prices rose. That's interesting because tariffs were supposed to increase new car prices, while deportation should be lowering used cars, lots of extra cars for sale. That could be Americans downgrading from new to used, which is also ominous. The other big one is food. So food inflation dropped by half, from annualized 5% to 2.5%. That's despite soaring egg prices. The CPI is on a lag, so it did not count the recent plunge in egg prices. In short, as Zero Hedge put it, goods inflation, stuff you can drop on your foot, is basically zero. What's left is services inflation, which is falling fast. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. If DOGE continues slashing federal spending, Bidenflation is done. Toss in Trump's energy policies, which have already dropped oil prices by 15%, plus the cheap eggs, and we could get inflation back to the 2% Americans know and love. I've mentioned in previous videos how tariffs get the headlines, but government spending and money supply are the 800-pound gorillas of inflation. If DOGE cuts stick, as in if Congress doesn't just respend it somewhere else, we'll get ongoing drops in inflation as household dollars no longer have to compete with migrant welfare and, yes, transgender operas. Meanwhile, the Fed is actually helping for once, perhaps because Jerome Powell hates Trump and is no longer doing favors for the White House. Either way, at the moment, the Fed is deflationary. High interest rates that reduce bank lending, that normally pyramids on the Fed's money printing, and ongoing sell-offs of the Fed's assets that literally cancel out dollars. We may yet see specific jumps in tariffed imports, but Trump is off to a heck of a start. Read the rest for free.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so there you let's go over the numbers real quick. So Biden's inflation, okay, all these Democrats, all these media pundits, we didn't hire Trump. You didn't hire him to begin with. You voted for Kamala. But anyway, we didn't hire Trump, or even Trump supporters didn't hire Trump to cut USAID. Yes, we did. We're $37 trillion in debt. Yes, we did. But what about inflation? What about egg prices? Oh, it's all this. What about gas prices? All the same. Well, let's look. So in Donald Trump's roughly, 53, 54, 55 days, something like that, Biden's inflation has been cut in half from 5.7% to 2.5%. Eggs are down 30%. Now, all these other numbers that you hear where the economy has gotten better, we're talking about like consumer price index, CPI, that's not even counting eggs, because eggs, just that number just came in. So all the good numbers that you're hearing aren't even taking into account the 30% price cut in eggs, reduction in cost for eggs. So eggs are down 30%, now lower in prices than when on Biden's last day. So I guess Joe Scarborough and Mika aren't going to have anything to say. Say CPI, consumer price index, went up 2.4% in February. When that's not good. That's inflation. But under Joe Biden, it was at 5.7%. So, dude, it's been cut in half. Down 3.5 points in 28 days. That was at 28-day mark. So the first month. Is this what the numbers are in right now? We're not nowhere near where we're at right now. We'll just wait and see. If we could actually see the numbers right now, they'd be even lower. Core CPI is the lowest since April of 2021, the very moment that Joe Biden shook off the Trump economy, the great non-inflationary, non-hyperinflationary economy. Biden shook it off right then and there. Now CPI is the lowest. Inflation is the lowest since April of 2021. Housing prices still went up 4%. See, we're on this podcast here. Gas prices are down 13%. Airfares are down 4%, either because people don't want to fly because they're saving money, or because jet fuel is way down. Food inflation has been cut in half from 5% to 2%, and that's without counting the plunge in egg prices. This is just my own thing I pulled up right before the podcast. Eric Doherty tweet, a lot of Republicans in the Senate just voted against, Aaron, I thought these people were Republicans. I thought they were conservative. Voted against putting Trump's DOGE foreign aid cuts into law, proposed by Senator Rand Paul. So what Senator Rand Paul is trying to do is what they call codify. Mm-hmm. He's trying to codify what DOGE is doing so it can't be changed by the next administration. So you go in and you say, you know what? We don't need 14,000 employees at USAID picking their noses, and only 6% of them actually show up for work. And really, probably only 50% can even be proven that they ever do 1 ounce of work ever. And a lot of them probably don't even exist. Those paychecks go to other people. So he wants to codify all of these cuts so that the next administration can't undo all that Donald Trump is doing. Didn't that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
Sound like a good idea to you guys?
Yep.
Okay, sound like a good idea to everybody in the chat? So you'd think that all of these conservatives would vote for conservatism, would you not? Isn't that the very essence of conservatism, is to conserve? That if you're a conservative, would you be spending $50 million on circumcisions in Mozambique and condoms in Afghanistan? Would you be doing that? You're like, Tom knows, Gaza knows, also Afghanistan. We're spending $50 million on contraceptives for the Taliban. So you would think that as a conservative, you would want to codify not having a Muppet show in Iraq. Would everybody agree with that? I think we would. So Eric Doherty put out, a lot of Republicans just voted against putting Trump's DOGE foreign aid cuts into law proposed by Senator Rand Paul. Who are the ones that voted against it? I just want everybody to know. I know this is long, but there's so many of them. Tom, you're talking, there had to be just 3 or 4. Oh, really? 3 or 4? These are the people that voted against codifying what DOGE is doing. Barrasso from Wyoming, Bozeman from Arkansas, Caputo, Cassidy, Collins, Kramer, Crapo, Fisher, Lindsey Graham, Chuck Grassley, for those of you that think Chuck Grassley's great. No, he's a poser. Hoven, Hyde Smith, Cuckboy Lankford, of course, Mitchie McConnell, McCormick, Moran, Mullen Murkowski, Ricketts, Rounds, Timmy Scott, globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, Johnny Thune, the majority leader in the Senate, Tillis, Wicker, and Young. Here's the people that voted for it. Here's the good guys. Now, this is, you know, obviously, it's basically split in half. So here we go. Four, Banks, Blackburn, Britt, Budd, John Cornyn, Tom Cotton, Cruz, Curtis, Daines, Ernst, Haggerty, Josh Hawley, Husted, Johnson, Justice, Kennedy, Lee, Loomis, Marshall, Moody, Moreno, Rand Paul, Reich, Schmidt, Rick Scott from Florida, not Tim Cuckboy Scott, Sheehy, and Tommy Tuberville. Amazing, isn't it? I'm going to see if Mark Wayne Mullins right here. FYI, the Paul announcement was well-intentioned, but adopting it would immediately result in a shutdown. Who cares, Mark Wayne Mullins? Who cares? We don't care. Aaron, can you find the deck clock for me? We don't care. We're almost, there it is. Man, that's fast now. Man, you lightning. Oh, Doge just crossed over $200 billion. We don't care. I mean, imagine being, listen, I'm trying to, there's Mark Wayne Mullen. He says all these pro-Doge things. They just pontificate. And when Mark Wayne Mullen, I was really hard on him for some stuff earlier, and I'm starting to feel bad because he sounded so conservative. You just prove who you are. Mm-hmm. Well, what NGO is feeding Mark Wayne Mullen or somebody in his family? That's all you need to do is go down that list, because all the United States is now is a giant NGO creator. And a lot of the NGOs are actually created out of government NGOs. Listen, the Department of Education is really just an NGO. I mean, even though it's part of the government, it doesn't qualify as a non-government organization. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't produce anything. It's just a non-government entity that ends up, even though it is government, creating other NGOs. And who's receiving money? Again, like J.B. Pritzker's got 63 NGOs that he receives money from. And I want to know all these people that voted against codifying the cuts, which means you're voting against codifying the cuts to these ridiculous NGOs that a lot of these judges that are ruling right now against Donald Trump are receiving money, or their families receiving money from these NGOs. There, we can play the game while we're here. Well, let's play the game, shall we? $36 trillion, $597 billion in debt. There we go. We just started to chart the clock, Aaron.
Yep.
There we go. Another $100,000 just got spent. And all of these Democrats, all these Republicans are for this. They're for this. They could have codified. See that $201 billion that's already been cut? They could codify it, but they're not going to do it. There's another $100,000. There's another $100,000 just got spent. There's another $100,000. And a million. 21 seconds. We're spending $1 million every 21 seconds. And the Republicans just voted against codifying into the rule of law the Doge cuts. The enemy within is the problem, right out of Jude chapter 3 and 4. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and also in two parts, 3 and 12. You don't judge those outside. Of course, Ocasio-Cortez. It's a political prostitute, and so is the rest of the squad, and so is Chuck Schumer. You judge those. It's 1 Corinthians 5, 3, and 12. Do not judge those outside the church. Judge those inside the church. The people that need to be judged are the people that just voted to not codify into law the Doge cuts, and because if they did, it would have passed the House. And this would be permanent. No more Muppet shows in Iraq. And again, it's not just those things. The NGOs are the ones that are facilitating the child sex trafficking in the southern border and paying themselves multi-million dollar salaries to traffic kids. And they're all fully staffed, these NGOs, by Democrats. And they funnel money to other NGOs. Like one of the chief funders for Norm Eisen's, the Brookings Institute, which is an NGO. So we end up funding our own political opposition and potentially our own political demise. Man, I could spend all night on that. Aaron, you got my video for me that I asked you to get? Yeah, I got a question for everybody. Play it for me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We'll fight against Josh. We'll fight Elon Musk. Elon Musk. Within our walls, we'll fight from dawn to dusk. Oh, which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on?
I just had a question for everybody. There you go. And that, the vocals are beautiful. All right, next one for me. This is a TikTok tweet. Breaking. Hamas says they will release the last living American hostage. That's funny, only 50 days in the Trump administration. I know it's a little bit more than that, but it's, I don't know what specifically is 52, 53 days. He has been held hostage by Hamas for just a mere 525 days. Biden abandoned him. Trump is bringing him. Of course, in 50 days, Trump accomplishes what Biden couldn't accomplish in, let's see, all of 20, the raid was, what, 23, and then all of 24 in a year and a half, Donald Trump does in just a few days. All right, now that we've crossed, all right, I'm going to throw another kink at you guys since I screwed up the whole podcast. Let's finish with me screwing up the podcast. All right, skip up, Brent, to Wall Street Apes video. Holy crap, Joe Biden.
Okay.
Tell me when you got it.
I got it.
All right, here we go. Wall Street Apes video. Holy crap, Joe Biden was paying off his blackmail bribes by sending USAID money, the $1 billion Joe Biden sent to Ukraine. Where did that come from? Remember that? I'm going to fire the prosecutor. Son of a bee. He got fired. Where did that money come from that he was using to extort Poroshenko, the prime minister of Ukraine at the time, to fire Viktor Shokin, the prosecutor looking into his son Hunter Biden's business practices at Burisma? So you're big daddy. You're over there. You're in charge. You've been put in charge of Ukraine by Barack Hussein Obama. Your son is involved in an illegal Ponzi scheme via a Privat Bank and Burisma, Metabiota, which is in partnership with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Funny how that all works together. And Hunter Biden is a partial owner of Metabiota. So you have Hunter Biden receiving $83,000 a month from Burisma to be on their board. It's a fossil fuel company. Natural gas company that, of course, Hunter has no expertise in, and it's being investigated by a honest prosecutor by the name of Viktor Shokin, basically the AG of the Attorney General of the country of Ukraine. And Joe Biden meets with Poroshenko at the time and leverages him to fire the prosecutor looking into his son, or Poroshenko wouldn't get the $1 billion in aid. Where did the $1 billion come from? Play it for me.
You remember when Joe Biden was at the Council on Foreign Relations, mm-hmm. and bragged,
yeah,
that he got the top prosecutor in Ukraine fired by the Ukrainian government because he explicitly conditioned the firing of the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma. He expressly conditioned their receipt of $1 billion in U.S. financial assistance on the firing of Viktor Shokin, the prosecutor. And he said, son of a bee, mm-hmm. he was...
It's so crazy watching him brag about that publicly. It just shows you what an idiot he is.
We know what that $1 billion in financial assistance was. It was a U.S. aid grant. Yeah, it's the carrots and sticks, and it's like
find that video because it's a shocking video. It's just the hubris that and the ego that someone has to have to speak of this publicly while it's being filmed, not just publicly, mm-hmm. not just in a room, not even just saying it out loud, but saying it in front of the Council of Foreign Relations backdrop.
Joe could be a convicted felon with all of the things that he's done. He's done horrible things. All of the death caused at the border. Telling the Ukrainian people that we're going to want $1 billion or you change the prosecutor?
I was, not I, but it just happened to be that was the assignment I got. I got all the good ones. So I got Ukraine. And I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference, said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Obviously from Alex Jones, that last video. But so you and I, get this, Aaron, get this, Brent, get this, everybody in the chat and everybody that's watching right now. You and I paid the bribery, paid for the bribery for Hunter Biden's prosecutor to be fired. Joe Biden bribed Poroshenko, the prime minister of Ukraine, to fire, or you want to call it a quid pro quo, but bribed the prime minister of Ukraine to fire the prosecutor looking into his son's company and his son's corrupt practices. Because that's what would have happened, is everyone would have discovered the corruption of the Biden family. So he had the prosecutor fired. If he got fired, he gets the $1 billion. You and I paid that $1 billion because it was an NGO. It was the it was USAID that funded it. You and I actually paid for. You and I actually, USAID is not an NGO. They just form many NGOs, but they are ostensibly an NGO. You and I paid for the Biden bribe for our tax dollars. Can you imagine that? That's exactly what you and I did. And I know that in the grand scheme of things, it would have been our tax dollars anyway. But now that you're seeing what's going on in USAID, now you see you and I, that's what the United States really is all about. Paying for Democrats to financially profit and to pay for Democrats' financial corruption. And where Biden gave that little speech was at the Council, it was the son of a bee speech, the Council on Foreign Relations. What's this nice little innocent organization? The Council on Foreign Relations is an American think tank. So what is that? What's a think tank? That's an NGO. Specializing in, and don't worry, it's nonpartisan. It's strictly and totally against you as a conservative, but it's nonpartisan because being totally against you is now called nonpartisan. A think tank specializing in U.S. foreign policy and international relations, founded in 1921. It is an independent and nonpartisan nonprofit that never works for conservatives. CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, is based in, of course, where would it be based in? Would it be based in Tampa, Florida? Would it be based in any conservative city? No, it's based in New York City with an additional office in Washington, D.C. And its founders are David Rockefeller and Herbert Hoover. Just so you know, that's who Biden was speaking to. Love this video right here. More on Ukraine. Concerned citizen video. This is Steve Bannon talking. Zelensky is a crook, and you will soon see why Ukraine was rated the third most corrupt country in the world. Play for me.
Do you not think Zelensky should have a say? Sorry, can I just confirm? Do you not think Zelensky should have a say in the future of his own country?
I do not believe Zelensky. Because first of all, he's 16%. He's not even democratically elected. Right now, if EU wants a part of the table, listen, if Zelensky wants a part of the table, have the United Kingdom step up, have France step up. Van der Leyen is saying you're going to do $800 billion defense raise. Have the people in the United Kingdom should ask, can you send 30,000 troops? This is not about the quality of British troops. Your valor and courage is unquestioned.
That we would put troops on the ground.
Your valor and courage is unquestioned. You're in financial distress right now. You're very close to having a sovereign debt crisis. You don't have the money. You're totally underwater. Your economy's not performing. And you live in this fantasy, both the Tories and the Labour Party, just like Macron, that you have unlimited resources to send to Ukraine. The Russian army in 3 years at 800,000 casualties has not taken Kharkiv, has not even gotten close to Kyiv. They can't cross Poland. They can't go into Germany. You're living in a fantasy land. And somebody's got to talk some hard realities to the people of Europe of what you're actually about to take on. Zelensky is untrustworthy. He's a crook and a punk. And he showed what a punk he was in the Oval Office the other day. He should never be allowed back in. I don't think he should ever be allowed back in to the United States.
I think a lot of people would disagree with you on the point that President Zelensky is a crook and a punk. There were democratic elections.
I don't care if people agree with me. I don't care if people agree with me or not.
The point of principle here is that Russia invaded a sovereign country.
We've sent $250 billion to Ukraine. $250 billion. President Trump says $350. $250. He says he can only account for $88 billion. We want a full investigation of where every penny went that the United States sent. And once that's done, you'll see why they're rated the third most corrupt country in the world.
So three areas. First of all, he was asked, should they have a fair, should Ukraine have a fair say at the bargaining table? No. You get a fair say when you're an equal investor. Have they paid for their defense? Now, remember now, the self-righteous people from the UK, like this reporter, they're talking about, you saw like the round table when Zelensky showed up at the EU and everybody's hugging him and kissing him and stuff. Those same people sitting at that round table, licking his boots and kissing his rear end, those same people have spent more on Russian gas during the Ukraine war, which began in February 2022, so over the last 3 years, they've spent more in those 3 years on Russian gas than on defense for Ukraine. Basically, they spent $100 billion. They spent hundreds of billions on Russian gas. So are they not financing the Russian army? Of course they are in the Russian economy. And aren't they boycotting the Russian army? I mean, they're advocating them. This is how two-faced, disgusting, this is how repulsive these people are. They're talking about, tariffs and boycotts on Russia, various economic punitive measures against Russia, and then buy all their gas for hundreds of billions of dollars. The entire European Union has put $100 billion in this war. And according to Trump's estimates, we alone, the United States, have put $350 billion into this war. And these people that are calling for Russian boycotts and Russian sanctions, economic sanctions, are buying their oil. So they're actually fueling the economy. They're allegedly sanctioning. They're two-faced, disgusting, repulsive Euro trash. That's what these people are. So should they have a fair say? Well, if you're not elected and you're, I thought all these people were purveyors and advocates of democracy. He has a 16% approval rating. He's removed all opposition parties, all opposition media, the Orthodox Church, and removed all elections. So why would he have a say at a democratic negotiation. Why would he have a say? He's not even the democratically elected president of Ukraine. And this is the point my favorite point that he made here, and this just proves that just because you're speaking about the truth, you're speaking the truth in the Slavic conflict that's been going on for generations, 1,000 years, Slavic conflict. Where did the Soviet Union begin? Does anybody know? It actually began in Kyiv. So this is in this entire Donbass fight, the breakout provinces of Donetsk and Luhansk, are all Russian speaking and were bombed by Ukraine in 2014, and are being constantly invaded and harassed by the Azov Battalion and Zelensky himself. And that's the same thing that was going on in Crimea. The Crimea wasn't conquered. Crimea was annexed. Crimea won. You know what annexation is? Annexation. It's like if you want to annex yourself into a city, everybody in your neighborhood has to agree to annex themselves into a city. They were annexed by Russia. They weren't conquered by Russia. Crimea asked Russia to take them over. And the same thing's happening in these breakout provinces. They're asking to be taken over because they're being bombed and shelled by the great second coming of Winston Churchill and St. Patrick, Volodymyr Zelensky. And here's the best point, one of the best points that Steve Bannon said. So in 3 years and a month, 3 years and a month, 37 months, Russia has lost 800,000 troops, either casualties or dead. They haven't even made it to Kharkiv, let alone Kyiv, in 3 years. And what is the justification for these haughty little journalists like that blonde chick? What's their justification? If once they take Ukraine, they're going to take Poland. It would appear to me that Poland would defeat Russia. Poland is way stronger than Ukraine. Their military is way better, way stronger. And then how in the world are they going to take Poland or Hungary or any of these others when then in 3 years, this vaunted Russian army that you're afraid is going to sweep over Europe is going to take other countries? Okay. And your justification for spending, and now I guess Ursula von der Leyen is going to come up with $800 billion for this, is to stop this Russian invasion of the European Union. Now, over the last however many years, a couple decades, who's advanced towards who? 11 countries have advanced. 11 countries are added to NATO, advancing NATO to the Russian borders, and Russia has never advanced a mile out of their own country until under Hussein Obama, Crimea was annexed. One little tiny, basically, island on the Black Sea. That's it. And for years, since 1990, we've added 11 countries to NATO, encroaching up to Russia. And those were all, we're such virtuous people. Then why are we violating our promises? Let your yes be yes, your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. So Russia in 3 years can't even get to Kharkiv. And let alone Kyiv, and they've lost 800,000 troops, and you're worried about this vaunted army sweeping across Europe? The only thing that you need to avoid as a European Union is what? And as the United States, a nuclear conflict. That's it. You know how you get a nuclear conflict? You start sending in British and American-controlled missiles into Russia. It's almost as if these people want to blow up the earth. And last thing on it, we've sent $250 billion over there. Trump says $350 billion. So let's use the conservative number. $250 billion that we've spent as the United States alone. The entire European Union, $100 billion. Only the out of that $250 billion, $179 of the $250 billion is missing in the wind. And we're supposed to send more? All right, 1022, that's good. All right, in the Rumble Rant, Dave Souders, $20. Pumpkin drifting on wood, $5. Naz Yeager, $1. Thank you, guys. Love you. Appreciate you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. I'm going to miss you. Unless I see you on Sunday morning at Foundation Church. We broke the record, didn't we, Aaron, this past Sunday? Yeah. Thank you to everybody. Let's break it again. Let's get to 800. Let's get to 800. Like and share, like and share, like and share. Let's get to 800. We had 742 people watching us live on Sunday at the height. Love you guys. Appreciate you. And like I always say, Trump is awesome. Love him. I hope he runs again. If he runs again, I'm voting for him. But anyway, he's not our savior. He's just a person. And things, life is great. It's the greatest time ever to be an American right now, turning things around. But you know what? This life is short. You know, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, you've got to have a savior. And if you're miserable, the reason why you're miserable, even though Trump's in office and down deep inside there's a void, it's because you're missing Jesus. So join us here at Foundation Church, no matter where you live. Join us at Foundation Church this Sunday at 10 o'clock. You'll see Aaron take the stage around. Well, see Aaron. He'll be on the stage before that, but you'll see him somewhere around 10:15. I'll take the stage right at about 11. I'll preach for about an hour and 15 minutes. All right, or maybe a little longer. But anyway, somewhere in there. Hour and 15 minutes to hour 20 minutes, something like that. But anyway, so join us this Sunday. Like and share. Get it out to as many people as you can. Let's break the record. Let's break 800. We've never crossed that barrier before. But anyway, love you guys. If I don't see you Sunday, I'll see you Monday at 9 o'clock. As always, stick around for the post game. It is awesome. Stick around for the post game. 30 seconds from right now. Literally, 30 seconds from right now. Love you guys. See you Sunday or see you Monday. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.